Good evening, Ed. Welcome to the Space Show.
Glad to be here.
Well, we've associated the Jet Propulsion Laboratory with studies of the solar system, as we've just been discussing, but you've got your sights set further afield, I believe.
We are looking for planets around other stars. We now know from Earth-based observations that there are planets around maybe a dozen other stars, because what's detected is the wobble of the star that's induced by the orbiting planet. But our goal is to actually image the planets themselves, and that requires putting into space an array of mirrors which are separated by, say, 10 meters initially, and then maybe 100 meters to 1,000 meters, but they're connected together in such a way that they act as though they're pieces of a mirror as large as their separation. This technique is called interferometry, and it provides us with a visual acuity of a much larger telescope than we could ever manage to put up if we had to put it up as a single piece of glass. Eventually, we hope to be able to image Earth-like planets around other stars, not just the big giant planets, but little Earth-like planets, to analyze what their atmosphere is, to see if there's oxygen, because here on Earth, the oxygen in our atmosphere is maintained by life. And if the life were to go away, the oxygen would go away.
I've often explained the thought of looking for planets around other solar systems is like looking for a moth circling a street light in Sydney from here in Melbourne.
That's a very good analogy, because typically the star is something like a million to a billion times brighter than the planet. And so the challenge is finding this dim little thing next to this bright, bright star. That's the reason you need this very high resolution separation, so that you can separate out this dim little object from this very bright star.
Once you've found such an object, and it would only just simply be like a speck of light, would there be anything we could find out about it?
The speck of light has in it information about what the atmosphere, what chemicals there are in the atmosphere. So we can analyze the nature of the atmosphere there to see if there's nitrogen and so on. But most importantly, we look at the combination of gases. Here on Earth, before the life evolved, there was no oxygen in our atmosphere, and microbial life produces that oxygen. That's a signature of life. The presence of oxygen with certain other chemicals is a sign of life, which is maintaining this disequilibrium. And so by looking at the chemical composition of the atmosphere, we should be able to say which of these Earth-like planets actually has microbial life.
Well, Ed, what got you started in working in planetary exploration?
I started in planetary exploration back in 1972 when I became the project scientist, the chief scientist for the Voyager mission, which, of course, is the mission that flew by Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune during the late 70s and through the 1980s.
And you've been working with NASA ever since?
I've actually been working with NASA since about 1961 or 62. I did my first experiment in space in 1961, studying the Earth's magnetic field, and that was the link to the other planets, was studying their magnetic fields.
And as a result of your long-standing association with this planetary exploration, you've had a rather unique honor of having an asteroid named after you. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Well, this is an asteroid which fortunately is not an Earth-crossing asteroid, so we don't we don't have to worry about an impact with Earth. But it's an asteroid which is out in the asteroid belt in a somewhat inclined plane, and certainly it's quite an honor to have an asteroid named after oneself. So I think it's just an indication, I think, that the interest there is in planetary exploration in the public at large, and the sense of the future that space provides for so many people.
Thank you for joining us today on the Space Show, Ed.
Thank you.